do 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 do.
Good morning, and welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue. Basilica Hudson, in a cooperation and partnership with Community of Literary Magazines, that is CLMP to your friends, it's Community of Literary Magazines and Presses, will once again have its celebration of literature and food. It's a read and feed, which will take place from 12 to 5 this Sunday. The festival includes a celebration of legendary based Hudson-based poet John Ashbery's 90th birthday, acclaimed food writers and chefs presenting demonstrations and interactive discussions, a superstar collection of authors offering literary performances and novel conversations, a marketplace featuring some of America's most intriguing small literary publishers, and artisanal food makers. Melissa Oftemeyer is the co-founder and director of Basilica Hudson, besides being one of our favorite guests, and we welcome her back to the program. Good morning.
Besides being one of my favorite radio stations, I am always excited when I make during your pledge drives. I wait for you guys to say hello, Melissa. I just like more than ever. Thank you being sounds of reason and truth on the air, and for having us for the luxury of arts and culture, but most importantly for humanity.
Well, thank you, and also just thank you for all the great work that you do for that arts and culture. But we also want to welcome Jeffrey Leppendorf, who is CLMP's executive director. He joins us this morning as well, and we welcome you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Joe. And as I am also a Hudsonite, I am equally thankful for both WMC and the Basilica, which is so amazing to be collaborating with.
This is called the Love Roundtable.
Yes, well, we need a little love. Nothing wrong with that. Tell us, Melissa, I know we have talked about this event before, but how did it come about and how has it grown over the summer?
Well, this is our seventh year at Basilica Hudson of programming. It's only our second year of Read and Feed, so I'm glad to be back to talk more in depth of one of our newer programs. I've been here a lot with our music festivals and our Farm and Flea and the things that have been more strongholds in the region for the last 7 years, but this is a newer one. And as all of our events, we try to bring a little bit of the world to Hudson while bringing parts of Hudson to the world. And that's like a big part of the local international exchange we strive to do at all of our events, is flashlighting how much unique talent, whether it's John Ashbery, poet laureate this incredible international poet that happens to make his life in Hudson, or bringing unique poets and publishers from around the country to Little Hudson. And it's this amazing exchange that we try to strive, and do in all of our events. And in this particular case, partnering with CLMP, because we always partner to do these kind of layered collaborations, and the expertise that they bring and having a nurturing eye for independent press and independent voices and needed more than ever. I pretty much just called the butcher lady. I was psyched to be able to bring in, I discovered this amazing butcher in Poughkeepsie, and she will come up to Hudson. So that was sort of more the community building that I brought. But Jeffrey is the literary element to the festival. And that's, like I said, the partnerships are key. And this is our big one, focusing on literature for the year. And
yeah,
Jeffrey,
so Read and Feed, you can watch Barb the Butcher demonstrate how to make sausages and also learn how to read a John Ashbery poem.
Yeah. And now, I'll get back to your earlier point, but now more than ever, we need to know how the sausage is made.
That's true. Oh, yeah.
but yes, and having a side order of John Ashbery is a wonderful thing, isn't it? In showing off the literary riches of our community, I don't want to put your job down at all, my point being, you do a great job. However, we have a lot of riches to show, don't we?
We sure do. I mean,
and people who want to come. You invite people.
Amazing.
Do you want to spend a weekend in Hudson? Yes, I will take a sold out train. I will do whatever. It's all independent. We're very unfunded, so it's not like cash paydays for people. It's, do you want an excuse to come to Hudson and share with a unique community and with these all these talents that want
exactly.
to also be there
and have amazing things to eat and hear and be able to read stuff that you probably don't have access to pretty easily anywhere else. I mean, just the marketplace alone of small publishers and artisanal food makers has incredible stuff that you're never going to find in one place, anywhere, you know, even in the middle of New York City.
Let alone an 1880s reclaimed factory on the Hudson River.
Yeah. By the way, those who are trying to make it through the heat today, and good luck to you.
Yeah.
It's lovely and air-conditioned here. The weather on Sunday appears to be perfect to
Lovely.
Come to the Basilica Hudson. It's going to be in the 70s, maybe a little light rain. We're indoors. And for those who have not been, this is the most magical, amazing place. You know, it was a giant
Forge and Foundry.
Steel yeah. So imagine an outdoor festival that is somehow indoors in this giant space. So it's going to be
That's
perfect.
Our specialty.
Yeah, exactly.
I just want to key in because Melissa said this, but you know, you invite people and they come. So does that way in some way mean it's curated in the sense of the people who are there are the people you wanted to be there?
Exactly. So what we've mainly brought to the kitchen table is the great stuff to read and some food too, food writing as well. So we primarily are in as a curating partner, and we've both done work on that, but we've been able to bring in, what is our wheelhouse, Ballywick, whatever you want to call it, to the Basilica. So we're bringing folks in that are new to the Basilica, and many of them will be new to Hudson. And bringing food and literature together is just fun because if you like to read, you like to eat.
Some of the formats, just so you know, a lot of our events use the space really well. So one wing is the food, another is maybe more a panel discussion, another one is a art installation. So in our big space, we encourage visitors to roam around the spaces.
Yep.
There's sometimes parallel activities happening. The marketplace is central to it, but there's some great interesting panel discussions with a returning Roseanne Gold, who's a returner from last year.
Yeah, she's an amazing food writer and does all sorts of other things as well, but she'll be moderating a panel on food and memory with a bunch of amazing chefs and writers. I'll let a little secret out that if you come to that discussion, you're also going to be able to find out if you're a super taster. We're going to be giving out these little paper
Sample.
Strips you put on your tongue, and they're going to let you know if you're a super taster or not.
How do you know that?
Scientific.
You know, you're going to have to come. It's science. The miracle
okay,
science.
Okay, science. All right.
Speaking of what's on the sausage, yeah.
So,
I mean, so I'm fascinated by this. Yeah. So are you born with this? Do you attain this?
You know, I have to say, this is what I know about it, but you're really going to have to come to get the deets on it. But apparently some people are super tasters, and I think it's like having perfect pitch.
Oh, okay.
It can be a curse or it can
Highly
be a blessing.
Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we'll find out what that means. I'm going to guess it's not necessarily the best thing, but it might be a great thing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
probably a little of both.
I have a friend who can tell you every spice that's in.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
If you have like a Hungarian goulash, can tell you every single
so
solitary ingredient.
Taster.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. There's going to be live cooking demos too. And we have people that are both equally kind of literary savvy and food savvy. So we've put together, this was Melissa's amazing idea, this community cafe that's going to be really amazing food,
glorified
super
bake sale.
Cheap. Yeah, think glorified bake sale. But
neighbor.
One of the people, we have neighbors cooking up stuff.
Food.
Local novelist Dave King is baking up chocolate cakes as we speak for it.
Yes.
But we also have Rohan Kamacharl, who, those who like looking at food porn should go look at onceuponatiffin. .com. He has this online blog.
Once Upon a Tiffin?
Yeah, Once Upon a Tiffin.
I guess
tiffin.com was taken, but it's Once Upon a Tiffin, but the website's really the Tiffin blog. But he travels the world and comes up with amazing, you know, South Indian stuff. But he also is a highly regarded editor of world literature, which is kind of amazing. But he'll be there demonstrating how to make a pounded rice dish. And no, I can't tell you what that is, but sounds yummy. And then we have in the cafe things for $3, $4, $5. You know, you'll be able to have an amazing lunch, incredible stuff with tamarind and curry leaves and chilies and stuff like that.
You know, I was going through the list. I was doing my due diligence and my research last night, as I want to do for this program. And I came to one thing and I thought, oh, well, this is something in all the years I've done this show, I've never heard of this. But you have something called a weepy booth.
Yeah.
Now tell us what. So this is an intentional. This is to make you cry intentionally, right? Is
that? Well, you'll be laughing through the tears probably.
Okay.
But
all right.
Yeah. There's an amazing for those who like podcasts. There's this incredible podcast called Cry Babies.
Yes.
And it's with the author, I'm sure is known to many of the listeners here, Susan Orlean, along with Sarah Thayer, who's hysterically funny comedy writer. And you might remember, if you were a watcher of Strangers with Candy, she played the gym coach.
Yeah.
On Strangers with Candy. And the two of them have this podcast where they invite celebrities on to talk about what makes them cry, which, believe it or not, is usually really, really funny. So what they've given us is their three favorite episodes, and they've kindly, their engineers have removed all of the ads, and we've made a loop about it. But Molly Shannon, Louis Vertel, I forget the other, the third one, but they're really great. And we've installed it in this amazing
we've
thing at Basilica.
We've housed it into my father-in-law is a phenomenal, both my husband and father-in-law know how to dig ditches and put in plumbing and stuff, but they're also incredible artists, and we house William Stone's Buddha booth, and it's an old vintage telephone booth, beautiful old, with a Buddha, and you sit down facing and meditate in a Buddha booth
instead of the phone.
Instead of a phone, it's a sculpture of a Buddha, and you face it one off. And in this case, you will be able to also cry.
It's a weepy booth. You can close the door. It's private, and there will be a box of tissues.
Yes.
Oh, that's very nice.
So,
it's like
you
an Oprah taping.
You can leave. Yeah. Exactly. You won't leave with a car, but otherwise exactly like an Oprah taping. And then, the main focus of the whole day really is celebrating this national living treasure we have in Hudson, which is John Ashbery, who is a poet that, as we know, of course, is turning 90 next week. And, a lot of people are afraid of poetry, and even a lot of people who love poetry already are afraid of John Ashbery's poetry. So we're trying to make this in some ways a kind of instruction manual for how to love John Ashbery from people who do. And for people who already do, it's going to be incredible. We have poetry luminaries, a pantheon of poets, a Parnassus of poets, if you will, talking about how they love John Ashbery. And then there's a book by John Ashbery called Girls on the Run. It's a book-length poem. We're going to read the entire thing with 20 people. Kind of all-star group of people, and who are going to be alternating lines. It'll be a lot of fun. And if you don't mind, Joe, I thought we'd put you on the spot and maybe read just the first few lines of the poem so people can hear how it starts off and we can say a word about it. But to hear the whole thing's going to be such a treat. But here's just the opening of Girls on the Run, which I will say one other thing. It's inspired by artwork by an outsider artist called Henry Darger. D-A-R-G-E-R. Mm-hmm. And if people don't know him, go Google him. But we're also going to have a running installation of images by Darger, which are these wonderful, brilliantly colored, demented children, crazy things. They're hard to describe. You just got to go look at them. But Girls on the Run's inspired by that. On one level, it sounds almost like a Dick and Jane book, but then it's got this, it's funny, it's almost scary, it's just amazing. So we're going to read just the very beginning. So here we go, the opening of Girls on the Run after Henry Darger.
A great plane flew across the sun.
And the girls ran along the ground.
The sun shone on Mr. McPlaster's face. It was green, like an elephant's.
Let's get out of here, Judy said.
They're getting closer. I can't stand it.
Okay. So
imagine that for 2 hours.
Yeah. Awesome.
So at first, one might think you might be delighted, or you might think, what on earth is going on here? But what starts to happen is you get this just amazing, funny, fun,
and
remarkable
occupying
story.
A factory with poetry about girls on the run sounds like fun to me. Sounds like my life, actually.
Yeah, it's a riot. It's really just a riot.
But do we need to get the listeners the pertinent information again?
Yeah. We do.
I want them to know where to go and when.
Well, you want to go to Basilica Hudson, of course. That's where you want to go. And if you want to plan your trip, you go to basilicahudson.org, basilicahudson.org. We will note that the read-in feed takes place this Sunday. That's this Sunday from 12 to 5. From 12 to 5 at Basilica Hudson. And again, you can plan all of the all of your time by going to basilicahudson.org, and the whole rundown is there. But
food
hopefully
and fun.
We've given you a little bit of a taste.
Yeah,
of,
doors actually open 11:30, so you can come in and start eating before the programming starts. And Melissa said we're using every space. We are really using every space. We even have two Whiting Award-winning poets. The Whiting Awards, by the way, is one of those things you find out like a Genius Award. You find out you've gotten, one of our best poets in America, and we have two of them coming, and they're literally going to be reading from the ceiling. You'll have to come to see it,
Readers,
but they'll be from up on high. They'll be doing their readings.
It's actually, we take that from, allow me to remind people that in September we have Basilica Soundscape, which is our sixth year doing our big weekend of music and art. And in during that music festival, we always take a moment and have readers in the rafters. And from above our factory rafters, the spoken word is heard. And we're taking that for this event again. It's very powerful to have a moment where people just listen.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Well, all of this can be found at Basilica Hudson in partnership with Community of Literary Magazines and Presses. They'll have their celebration of literature and food. It's entitled Read and Feed. It takes place 12 to 5 this Sunday, basilicahudson.org. Melissa and Jeffrey, thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for the wonderful work you do in the community, and thank you for sharing with us this morning.
Thank
you.
Yeah, actually, thank
you.
WAMC.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And when I made my last donation, you actually said lock arms. We will all lock arms together in the region for local events and local radio. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.